Hello, Katie.
Hello. Welcome to the Spiritual Involution.
The Spiritual Involution. It's a good day for it.
It is.
How are you and your family? How's the move? How was the move?
You know, the whole thing has been odd but interesting, and I'm trying to stay, what's the word I'm looking for? Malleable, flexible, go with the flow. And I think my go-to way is I'm a little anxious about change, you know, because I just, well, you don't know what it is. And there's so much change occurring around me right now that I'm trying to find the beauty in it rather than the anxiety in it.
Yeah. What was odd?
Oh, I mean, well, just a move in and of itself is kind of a change, right? You're moving and everything is new, but then unintentionally, we did the move during this coronavirus. You know, it was set in motion way before the virus. So it wasn't planned that way. But, you know, we didn't really get to say proper goodbyes when we left. It felt like kind of like, which I do this a lot, though. It felt like leaving a party.
Sneaking up.
Yeah, like leaving a party and not telling anybody, which I'm actually famous for. So maybe it's appropriate. But yeah, so just felt like we kind of went away without really, you know, saying anything to people. And I had plans to go to lunch with a few people before in my mind, like I wanted to kind of properly say goodbye to people. And I know I'll have my chance later. And then, you know, you arrive in your new place. And my usual thing is to go check out the town, figure out what's going on around here. And we're really supposed to still be staying pretty isolated. So that is also just a different thing, right? But luckily, I'm being isolated in this beautiful house that's in a forest. So if I have to be isolated anywhere, I have to say this is magical here.
I was disturbed that you found the packing box that had the fanny packs. Tell me about that.
Oh, I don't. Every day where I'm trying to get one or two more boxes unpacked, and I never really know what's inside. I tried to make lists, but it's always a little bit of a surprise. But I found my fanny pack collection, and it is a collection now, I'm going to say. And I was, it just made me happy. It's like, yes, these fanny packs, I've been missing you. And I know it's a little cheesy, so I make jokes about it. But I actually really do like fanny packs. They're really functional and I think fashionable, but that's debatable.
Yes, that is debatable. I think the last time I had one was 1994.
Is that when you wore leg warmers and stuff?
No, that would have been another 10 years before that. No, okay. 1994 was the period of fanny packs.
Oh.
Looking back on it, it's kind of like high top Reeboks and high-waisted faded jeans.
That stuff's coming back right now, actually.
No.
Oh, yeah. The high-waisted faded jeans are totally coming back.
No.
Yeah. It's 90210 all over again.
Okay.
We'll see. Well, you'll be wearing them soon, David. Just mark my words.
Okay. Well, I will trust you and say, okay. But in the meantime, I have no intention to go out and buy any.
Okay.
So, Katie, what's up? What's alive in you right now?
What's alive in me right now is finagling the world in a peaceful way while trying to also stand up for beliefs that I believe in. Yeah, that's just proving to be more challenging than I thought.
Standing up against who?
I think the mainstream ideology or ideas, there's definitely a viewpoint out there that seems to be more popular. And I'm not sure if it's more popular in general or just in my scope that I see, because I have family and friends and I lived in the Bay Area. So my little world is very liberal. And in fact, I used to be very liberal. I used to be, I think, the person that would never listen to anything from a right-wing source myself. And so part of me understands that. But as I've read and started to see little cracks in the system, I have issues with both sides. I find myself unaligned with any party, which is kind of a weird feeling. And it feels like I've turned my back on this party that I've kind of invested a little bit of my identity in. And part of me still believes in, especially when it comes to the environment. But I'm seeing the liberal media in a way I've never seen it before. And so I'm trying my best to put out a well-rounded scope of where people are coming from. Because my concern is what I'm seeing a lot is people calling each other names, specifically dumb, ignorant, and stupid. If you believe, let's say that we should open up our country a little bit. Now, I'm not trying to argue whether we should or should not at this point. But what I am saying is there are valid reasons why they believe this, and it goes far beyond themselves being selfish or stupid or ignorant. And I think my point is I want people to get to their discussion points. I want people to look at where they're coming from. And if you disagree on their points and you want to articulate that with free speech, with etiquette and respect, I love that. I am all for open debates, open discussions. But what I'm noticing is it's shut down before we can even get there on the premise that you're a stupid moron who loves Trump or something. And I just don't see that to be true, because now as I've gotten to know people on the other side, and now as I've given the other side a little bit more leeway into actually listening to them than I ever have, I still might not agree with them, but I can say, you're making some points that seem interesting, and I don't think they're based in the fact that you're amoral. I just think your perspective is coming from a different place, and you have different values placed on different things. And these values might be because you live a different life than I do, or you've had different experiences than I have. But I'm not willing to say they're morons.
You know, one of the reasons why I look forward to my time with you, whether it's through text messaging, through Instagram, Facebook messages, following your posts, or recording a podcast, is that you take a stand for a way of being that inspires me, and I think it inspires other people. For example, I'm not sure the country is as divided as we'd like to think it is, or as divided as it looks like it is. If you really dig down and get into the numbers and the details, you'll actually find the country is no more divided than it was, let's say, in the period of Nixon or even Reagan. You might find a couple percentage points, but for the most part, it's still 50-50. But what's really going on is some places, some broadcasts are louder than the others, and they might be a little more culturally offensive, and so they get one's attention or raise the hackles on the back of one's neck. But I'm no longer convinced that the world or the country is as divided as it appears at the moment. Now, let me take this back to you. For example, there are many people like you who have this remarkable ability to be self-aware enough to know what your feelings are, or when you don't know, to explore them and to ask questions of yourself about what those feelings are. And while you're checking that out, you are taking in information from all sources, desirable, undesirable, left, right, middle, or way around on the back end, and seeing if it really has merit or value or if it works. This inspires me, Katie Burke. But I wonder how it is you stay sane and, let me find the word, balanced. You find yourself sane and balanced in the presence of people who will poke back or respond meanly. I imagine you get some mean comments.
You know, I honestly don't say I get too many mean comments, but I can say when I'm noticing if my heart gets worked up, you know, I'm noticing, oh, there's a few people, a good friend of mine from college, Kurt, and this boy named TJ, who is like one of my best friends, super liberal. I love them to death. And they're bringing up valid points either publicly or privately with me. I think they're obviously trying to change my mind, and somewhat they have a little bit, but they're doing it in a super respectful way, acknowledging my stance. They're not calling the other side names, and they don't post ridiculous things on their page that just seem salacious. And I admire that. I actually look forward to their conversations, even though it does feel like a little bit of a battle. It's like a nice battle. What bothers me more than anything right now, and I don't know how to fix it or if it's deserving of validity and I'm just ignorant to it. But I post something that comes from a source they don't like, and they don't even read the article because they've already prejudged it. And even yesterday, I did my best. I posted two opposing views, so completely opposite together, as if to make the point. Look, guys, there's a doctor here and there's a doctor here, and they have two opposite views. Read them both and see what you think. That was kind of my general gist. But I still got pushback that, oh, no, you posted a right-wing news source. And some of them wouldn't read it. They just wouldn't even read it. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not okay with that. I'm okay with you reading it and then discussing what's in the article that you find either inflated, wrong, incorrect, and prove it to me using facts. That is fine with me. But when you don't even give it a chance, it really bothers me.
Can you tell me more about that? What is it in you that finds that it matters?
Because like you said, I think our media is using this opportunity to inflate facts and not tell other facts, or to highlight a certain thing to make it appear as if it's worse. And perhaps this division is appearing to be worse because of the news. I know it is, actually, but I still have a lot of people in my group that will push back pretty firmly on the other side being complete ignorant morons. And I don't want to call them out, but I know who they are. And it's not just a few people. It's a lot of people. And I want to get past that. And I don't think the only way to get past that is to get through the emotion and come to the facts that they're working with. And to see beyond maybe the media spin. And to me, that takes looking at all sides. And if you're stuck in your ideology, if you're stuck in only reading liberal news, and if you're stuck in only reading conservative news, then you're in your little chamber, and we're never going to break through into understanding the other side and thus understanding each other. But when we push aside a news article because it's in the other camp, and this happens on conservatives for CNN, and it'll happen on liberals for Fox and stuff like that. And it's like, you have to use your own critical thinking to read the article and then decide, but you're not even allowing that to happen.
Okay. So, you know, while you're speaking, I was getting a download and getting some clarity for myself. So as a pastor, as a minister, as a man, as an American citizen, I have been exploring what really matters to me and what doesn't. I've been paying attention more and more to what is it that really matters. And as I'm watching the evolution of spiritual community, let's say, who at this moment can no longer meet in person and congregate in person, looking at online ministries and virtual spiritual communities. And so that's very alive for me right now. And here's my noticing. This is what's really getting my attention. People don't want any more information. They want transformation. And this is one of the remarkable things about Katie Burke and why I love sharing time with you on spiritual involution. Because no matter what it is you say to your friends, whether they're on the right or on the left, how you're saying what you're saying to them is transforming them. Now, they, on the other hand, may not give a toot about anything but being right. But I don't want to spend any time, waste any time even arguing that point. Sometimes I just delete those or hide them or go, okay, and then move on. But what makes me curious at the moment is what's alive in you that is triggered by them not wanting to read the right or the left. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I've been trying to ask that question myself. Like, why do I care so much that you don't want to read this based on the pure fact it's coming from a source you don't like? And I think it might have something to do with not being understood in other areas that have been polarizing opinions, you know? And maybe it's this weird yearning for truth somewhere, like deep down in its bedrock. Like I want to understand truth, and And it's wishy-washy to me, but the foundational truth I believe in is that people are, for the most part, good. And I don't want to place these labels on the other, that creates, what's the word I'm looking for, that makes them seem not human. Because it's a dangerous place for me when I see people in two camps dehumanizing the other camp by saying they're morons or idiots or stupid. Because when we start to devalue the other, it's the point of no return in a lot of ways for me. And when I, you know, studied all that stuff about Hitler and the Nazis, it's like that's stage one. That is stage one, where we no longer see our fellow brothers and sisters as humans. And that allows a whole opening for really negative things to happen. And I don't want that. And I know I'm portraying a lot on this, you know, and it's probably never going to get to such an extent. But it worries me. The divide worries me, and not the divide in opinions, the divide in humanity. Like, thinking the other person is a horrible person because they would like to go back to work. Or thinking the person that wants to stay home and honor their body that way is a horrible person. And I don't know how to move past that other than to see both sides for what they're speaking about.
I think that's lovely. And that's one of the things that is so beautiful about time with you on the air, in a virtual way, sharing this information, because we might have people who are participating right now, listening to this, who have some insight how they may have been camped in one area or another, either of which could be lovely, but neither of which is complete. So tell me, what I really want to know this, do you wear the fanny packs?
Yeah, all the time.
What do you put in them?
This is a very weird jump from what we're talking about.
Maybe not.
I put my phone in there. I put hand sanitizer in there. And this is before even coronavirus. I've always had a thing to have hand sanitizer on hand, especially with little kids, I think. I always usually have a couple Band-Aids and lip gloss. It's kind of my go-to items.
Sounds smart.
Yeah.
It sounds very smart. I have,
but I want to hear your opinion, David, on this. Like, do you have an opinion?
I do.
Or do you, Katie, have any worries about the direction that things are happening?
I, on purpose, dig deep for my news information because I know that what appears to be news, you know, those headlines, I really don't believe that any of it is actually news. It's triggered to get us to click, because clicking leads to advertisement. And by the way, I don't have an opinion about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. It is what it is. And in the world of revenue generation, companies like newspapers or news agencies or magazines or news magazines, they want to stay in business. So the way they stay in business is to generate revenue. And the way they generate revenue is by advertising. And the way they generate revenue from their advertisers is by getting clicks. And the way you get the clicks is to create something that causes people to respond from their most basic, fearful human instinct, which is usually by titillation or fear. So people will click on those things. Now, what's on the other side of the click is almost irrelevant for the delivery of the news information, because they don't need to go further. That's how they stay in business. Okay, I don't have a problem with this. But I'm not going to pretend that those headlines are actually news. For example, I was really, really upset this week. More upset than I wanted to tell anybody. But since it's just you and me right now, I'll tell you. There was a headline that the UN has declared a possibility of a world famine, up to 1.2 billion people, because of what's happening. And in that moment, because I spend time meditating and I spend time being reflective and I spend time being as emotionally intelligent as possible, in that moment, I had this awareness. And the awareness was that headline is not designed to cause me to make decisions that will be good for me or my fellow human being. That headline is not designed to cause me to take action or no action. That headline has only caused me to be afraid. Because in reality, if that news information was being delivered to be beneficial to my life, to make an impact in my life, to help me make decisions that'll be good for me or for my fellow human, if that were so, then my first thought will be, oh, well, then what do I do? Should I plant a garden? Should I eat less? Should I start storing away food? No, that information is not designed to cause me to do anything except be afraid. And that really, really upsets me. It upsets me because, yes.
Okay, question though. Let's just say it's true. Let's just say a famine could happen. How would a news source tell the public about that?
Or should I'm with they? You. I'm so with you. So this is where I, as a person like you, who's committed to living a life as authentically and generously as possible, that I spend time asking myself these questions so that when people who want what we've got, people who have forgotten what we are talking about right now, that I can give information that's helpful. I would say, firstly, dig deep to find out what's really going on with the food source. Is this based in any reality whatsoever? Is it conjecture? Is it someone just making something up? Is it an expert who has some suggestions and some recommendations for behavior? So I went beyond the headlines, and there is none of this information to be found. Zero. The headline was simply a, hey, guys, guess what? This could happen.
Right.
So.
Right. In some ways, I feel like all of the news right now is this could happen because we're dealing with something that's we don't even understand the data for yet. So everything feels like this open source.
Well,
this is why
I,
going fractions of ways.
I'm taking a bit of a news break, if you will. I'm realizing that anything that I really, really need to know, things that really matter to me, all the people in my life around me, they will let me know. And things that I want to know about, I have to make time to dig deep and spend time reading it. Like actually reading books again or reading long articles.
Yeah.
Some of these articles take 45 minutes to an hour. But you know that somebody spent time exploring and investigating and gathering information. They're not just firing off a few paragraphs to fill a column and to entertain me or to make me anti-bored. This is a lovely thing about this little bit of a downtime that I can spend time hiding from other human beings and doing what society has almost made us to be shameful to do. And that is to take time to slow down and to read, to really, really, really read. But I noticed there are some really great YouTube videos filled with lovely chock-a-block, full of useful, helpful information. And they are almost always longer than I want to spend time watching. And then there's a part of me that goes, well, spend the time anyway. So I'm not sure if I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. I think looking further, I mean, that's sort of where I'm from too, coming from is just, I don't, especially if it's an opinion piece, I'm never taking it as factual, but there might be little tidbits in there that I can take and then dig further. And like you said, look for validity, look where they might be even coming from. Is there reason to believe that this could happen? And to me, it wouldn't really spark fear as much as, okay, I'm getting the heads up. Like what can I do? Is there anything I can do? And then if there's not, then you let the worry go away, I guess, because there's really not much you can do. But it's interesting. It is interesting. And I do think the longer articles, the books, they will give you a more nuanced and complex understanding of issues that are often very complex. And so when you're reading a snippet of it, You're not really getting it.
So I'm looking at trees, and the trees that are sturdy are trees that have spent, they've been around for a while. Their roots are typically deep. Maybe this is a bad metaphor. It's probably going to be mixed. And it took time for it to gain its strength. And there's many of the things that are the headlines, they are things that pass and change and they alter very quickly. I'm interested more in the trends and the long-term projections, as opposed to day by day switching of those things that blow by. Well, I've mixed so many metaphors. Forget everything I just said.
I'm looking at the trees and trying to figure this out. You know, what I was thinking too is, and when you're watching news to think about this, is we're in a political year, and I think things are being purposefully more divisive to drive people into their camps. You know, for example, I am on Facebook, these private groups, you have to be invited to join them. And they're more holistic groups, like more hippie folk. And they too are starting to protest out there, but they're being mindful of social distancing. They're being respectful. Some of them are still wearing masks. And their signs are not inflammatory. They're like, I just want to go to the park again with my kids. Let me surf again. And what I'm noticing is on the news, all you see are these sort of characterized Trump people. You know, they're like caricatures. And they're kind of, I know they exist. They're not fake. And I know it's part of the protests. I don't think that is fake either. But I do think they're purposefully highlighting a certain type of Trump supporter to prove a point that they're kind of eccentric, let's say. And meanwhile, I'm in these little private groups seeing all these photos, these beautiful photos of people being kind about it and practicing their First Amendment right in a respectful way. And none of that is getting covered. So it puts that into my head, like, what's the agenda here? Huh. You know?
I don't know, but I can tell you that I love talking to you because we almost never hang up with the definitive. We usually hang up going, huh, I want to know more about that.
Well, I think the more people are aware and the more people can consume all kinds of things, right? You'll see that. I'm becoming more in tune with the idea of, oh, I see what they're doing. They're really pushing that narrative and then looking to the other side and seeing the other side too. And then you can find your middle ground and you can kind of find, you can still have a stance. And I think people are getting that confused. Like, I got a lot of pushback, kind of like, you can't just kumbaya the world, Katie. You can't just love the world and everything will be right. Sometimes you have to put people in their place and sometimes you have to fight. And I was kind of taken back because I don't think that they're necessarily mutually exclusive. I think you can stand your ground firmly in love by speaking with the First Amendment, your right to speak, the facts that you know or the belief that you know, while also having a conversation respectfully with love. I don't know why there was a seemingly weird dichotomy going on, like those two can't combine.
I don't either. And I'm okay at the moment with saying, I may not know today, but it gives me something to think about.
Yes, me too. And I'm going to still try my best to use my spirituality to stay rooted in that love, even though there are times when I'm noticing like, oh, I'm angry, kind of angry at that response. But I'm still really trying to still stay connected to the fact that I do believe we are all connected spiritual human beings on this planet together. And that even if I disagree with you so much, I'm going to love you. And I'm going to love you as much as I can. And I'm still going to tell you another side that you might not see. And still be okay if you don't agree.
I think we should end.
That's fine.
I think we should end.
But I'm not
going to
be quiet.
That was just too beautiful. Wait.
Well, I love you.
I love you too. And I want to say thank you very much for giving me the visual. today, if I need to get outdoors, I'm going to find an old fanny pack and put my phone and some Band-Aids and some lip gloss and hand sanitizer in there and go hug a tree. And say hello to...
And please take a photo of that for me, okay?
Bye, Katie. Say hello to your family.